What up, though? It isn't a Tuesday. It isn't a Thursday. It's a Wednesday, and it is fight week in the Motor City. So before we get to the fights that are going down this Saturday at the Motor City Casino at the Soundboard, I got to tell you about the fine folks who are bringing you this interview with the Detroit Dragon himself, our guy Reese Kelly, before he steps in the cage this weekend. But like I said, this show is brought to you by our fine sponsors at Potter's Tree Service. If you're in the need for tree removal, tree trimming, chipping service, storm damage cleanup, walnut logging, or lot clearing, Potter's Tree Service is the way to go. Check out this video real quick. See a little bit of what they bring to the table and the different services they got. And then, after that, enjoy the show.
This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover! We got a cover world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is a podcast meeting. There's a real deal, baby.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
That's right. What up, though? This is another episode of Knockouts and Three Counts before we get to fight night at the Motor City Casino. We've got the debut of a guy on the show tonight. We've got Reese the Detroit Dragon. Kelly, how you doing, my man? I appreciate the time.
What's happening, man? I'm doing good, man. Excited to be on here.
Hell yeah. That's what we like to hear. Appreciate you having it on, coming on and checking us out. For any of you guys who missed the show last night, boy, did we have quite the surprise guest on that one. We had the return of our guy Devin Smith before he fights for the welterweight championship for LFA this weekend, but we also had a surprise cameo from UFC Hall of Famer Rashad Evans jump through the show last night. So make sure you go back, check that out wherever you get your podcasts, TikTok, Facebook, all the books. Make sure you check them out. Hit that subscribe button because I probably missed a couple. But in the meantime, make sure you check out our sponsors as well. But man, I'm looking forward to getting back down to the Motor City Casino and checking out some fights, man. Reese, I appreciate you coming through. And we were talking about before we got live on the show, we talked a little bit about what you had going on with Mitten Muay Thai and all those things. But before we get to your last fight and what you're going to do this weekend, you know, one thing that I like to do every time that we have a first time guest on here, especially somebody who's younger and coming up through the game, talk to me a little bit about what got you into fighting here and how did you become the Detroit Dragon that we see now? Where did the fight game start for you?
So I've been doing, you know, martial arts all my life. Been doing this since I was 3 years old. Come from a martial arts lineage. You know, started in karate. You know, my mom's a black belt, dad's a black belt. So
dope.
So yeah, so I come from a long line of assassins and ninjas. So this is, I've literally been doing this since I was in diapers. So just in my blood, literally been doing it all my life. And I got into MMA around 2018, 2019. You know, wanted to try, you know, something new, expand my martial arts horizon. And, you know, I fell in love with the game and I've been doing it ever since.
I mean, so talk to me real quick about that transition of being a lifelong martial artist, to your point, and then transitioning that to actually competing. That's got to be a whole different mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I've been doing, you know, tournaments since I was a kid. So, mm-hmm. you know, the competing aspect, you know, wasn't different. It was just more dedication, putting everything, you know, all the eggs in one basket and just learning the fight game, you know what I'm saying? It's different, you know, tournaments and, you know, a cage fight, you know, totally two different things. So just understanding my opponents, you know, how they think, how they move, you know, just understanding the flow of everything, just getting that feel for it. And once I can could adapt to that, you know, just applying everything that I've been doing all my life, I was able to and I'm able to, you know, bring it into the cage and into life. So
that brings up something I wanted to ask you. Okay. I heard you say that both your mom and your pops are black belts. What the hell does that make growing up with? Like, cause man, you really can't mess around. Now both your mom and your dad can kick your ass. Talk to me about having parents as black belts, how that helped shape you, you know, in what we see as a fighter now. And just talk to me about that, because that's got to be a crazy upbringing, huh?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely a lot of, you know, I didn't get plenty of whoopings. So, you know, if I got in trouble, you know what I'm saying, I got beat down in the dojo. So they didn't have to do it at home. They gave me on the mat, so. But yeah, just coming up, you know, discipline, focus, integrity, you know what I'm saying? All the skill sets that you learn from, you know, true martial arts, you know, that's something that was just enveloped in me. I saw it. Not only did I want it, but, you know, I saw it, you know, so I was able to see how, you know, it affected my life and theirs. So it's cool. And, you know, growing up, you know, it was a cool experience because, you know, most kids are watching Power Rangers. They're watching you know, Nickelodeon. I'm watching Enter the Dragon. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. I was going to say, are we a Karate Kid guy or are we talking Enter the Dragon?
I'm in
the original Bloodsport.
You know what I'm saying? Bloodsport, you know, Jet Li, Fearless. You know what I'm saying? I can name all the movies, you know what I'm saying, growing up as a kid, like. That was my playtime. That's what I was watching in the crib. So,
hell yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's funny to hear you say that because I'll never forget. Corey and I have known each other for 20 years at this point. But it's funny how when you get into fighting, it's not so much that you're worried about your parents. I remember getting caught one time thinking it was a good idea to try some apple schnapps liquor, which I called it apple schnapps at the time. Only to find out that, no, the worst part of it was then I had to go spar with everybody at the gym, and I just got my ass whooped. They went one right after the other. Fred, next fresh guy in. By the end of it, I'm like, all right, I get the point. Let's just chillax a little bit. Let's not let me get out of here with some broken ribs. But with that being said, you know, one of the things that jumped out to me when doing my research to do this interview, man, is, again, like we were talking about before we started the show, shout out to Mitten Muay Thai, which I've been talking to them. You might see me on commentary one day at some point at that place. But with that being said, you know, they got to have their first event. You know, you're still competing actively in kickboxing while doing MMA and competing in jiu-jitsu tournaments. Talk to me about your a recent fight for Mitten Muay Thai as you took on Pancho Thor, man. I mean, he's a guy I've seen fight quite a few times as far as MMA goes. Talk to me about that fight for Mitten Muay Thai and how did everything go?
The fight was awesome. The show that Phil, Noah, all of them guys that they put on, it was spectacular. Like, it felt like some real blood sport, you know what I'm saying, from the setup to the crowd, you know what I'm saying. It was the first show. They put on a great event. You know, Pancho was a tough competitor. Of course I won. But you know, held his own. And I haven't fought since April of last year. So I've been inactive a little bit. So, you know, I wanted that to be my warm up match, you know, to get me ready for Saturday night. So I use that, you know, as a stepping stone, you know, just to get the legs back, you know what I'm saying? Get that blood pumping a little bit. Just move my body a little bit, little late night session.
Do you ever have any issues like competing in the multiple disciplines? Do you ever have a hard time going back and forth between the two? I mean, obviously jiu-jitsu is a little different because it's just submissions and stuff, but competing in just kickboxing versus using all your tools in MMA, do you find yourself having any issue going back and forth between the different rule sets between kickboxing and MMA?
Not really, you know, because we're training. When I do my training, you know, I'm training. Sometimes I do strictly kickboxing or strictly Muay Thai or we're doing MMA rounds. So I'm always familiar with, you know, the certain rule sets, you know, how I do. And I'm just, I can train myself to, okay, Let's go to switch to this mode, okay? Or we'll I'm able to, you know, understand what I can and cannot do in certain situations. So Not too hard. Not too hard for me. No.
I like it. With that said, dude, as we talk about your next fight here for the at Motor City Casino this Saturday, fight night, February 24th, and all that stuff, you know, one thing that jumped out to me, you know, being around the MMA game around here, man, your name has been coming up for a while. And from what I hear, you plan to be pretty active in 2024 because you already had the kickboxing fight. You're about to get in here with a cage at Cage Night down at Motor City. I've heard your name mentioned with a few other matchups and stuff like that. Are you somebody who likes to be very busy? Do you like, you know, any breaks in between camps, or are we at the point right now where you want to get as many fights as possible to get yourself out there on Front Street?
Yeah, I'm about that action, boss. So I'm coming in 2024. 2024 is the year of the dragon. You know what I'm saying? The Chinese New Year is the year of the dragon, so it's my year. So I'm coming for everything. So I'm staying as active as possible. And so you go see my name a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out here getting as much experience, you know, I'll be out here. So, yeah, so I didn't have as many fights as I wanted to, last year. So I'm coming out 2024, you know, full throttle. Cause it's going to be a big year for me. I think, you know, I plan on having several fights, you know, getting my name out there, and eventually, you know, we're trying to head to the big stage. So I'm being active this year for sure.
I like it. About that action, go ahead, Corey.
You talked about kind of the bout of inactivity. Is that what's leading you into this direction? Like you said, I mean, you're the dragon. It does kind of line up and all, but is that what's leading you to want to kind of reassert your name out there?
Yeah, somewhat. I started off last year hot, 2-0. You know, started my pro career hot. You know, unexpected situations. You know, life happens. So I came into this year like, you know, had that fire in my belly. So I'm like, yeah, I'm coming for everything. You know, that I've been, you know, trying to release. So yeah, I'm ready. So I'm ready.
Talk to me a little bit about your training, man, because in doing my research, like we talked about before we hit the button, I know that you get down with some homies of mine from Warrior Way and past guests of the show, Austin Bashy and other guys that, you know, I've gotten the pleasure of training with for years as well. But from what I see, you've got multiple different gyms that you're training at. So talk to me a little bit about your training. What is it about the different spots that make those the right spots for you? And I mean, what's your philosophy on training, in the fact that from what I see, it reminds me a lot of what I saw when I first came around MMA, where you would go kind of like the different spots, you know, MASH happens to be, you know, one of the bigger schools that has a lot of stuff now, but when MMA and stuff first got legalized here, you'd see, you know, a guy might go box over here. He might go kickbox over here. He might go do MMA over here. You know, I've seen that you've done some stuff with Proving Grounds and Warrior Way and all that stuff. So talk to me about where you're getting some of this work, and how do you like getting all those different looks from different places?
So, you know, what people have to remember is, you know, when I got into the game, I was already a second-degree black belt in a whole nother system. So, you know, I came into the MMA game already a black belt. And so my philosophy was I want to learn as much as possible, you know, as much from as many people as possible, you know, and just try to soak up everything. And, you know, I was blessed to find MASH Gym. You know, that's the gym I started with. Stumbled upon Warrior Way, you know, Austin Bashy, you know, training with guys like him, you know, just working my ground game and grappling game. So helped me tremendously with Brandon Fakasi McDaniel.
Love Brandon. Shout out to Brandon.
Shout out Brandon, my head MMA coach. Appreciate him and all the folks out there in Warrior Way for helping me, you know. And stumbled upon Nick Bismack from Proving Grounds. Great coach, you know, a lot of experience as a fighter, lived the fighter's life. So, you know, I worked with him. Striking wise and kickboxing wise, so you know, basically, so I'm floating, you know, everywhere, you know, saying I go to Proving Grounds, you know, working my striking, kickboxing, Warrior Way, grappling, Muay Thai, and I'm still at my dojo, still at Southfield Martial Arts where I started with. So I had to give shout out to where I started at. So my grandmaster Willie Adams, he's a 10th degree black belt in Isshinryu karate. So you know, if people don't know about him, you know, do your research. Him fought Chuck Norris multiple times. You know, they won. He won one. Chuck won one. Literally a Detroit pioneer of karate. So a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Detroit was one of the top karate spots. It has, you know, a lot of pioneer, you know, karate folk that, you know, people don't know about, but, you know, they do their research, you know, they'll find a lot of stuff. And so, yeah, still at my dojo, still at, you know, Training Approval Grounds, Warrior Way, you know, shout out to Mash too. So, yeah.
That's what's up, man. I, like I said, that's a throwback to that. And it's dope, you know, to hear, like you said, that your original coach, you know, going up against the likes of Chuck Norris and all that stuff. Here's the question. Did he tell you any cool Chuck Norris stories?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but, you know, if you go into the dojo at Southfield Martial Arts, it's a picture of him and Chuck. And, like, he's throwing a kick. And Chuck got his leg, and he's like about to bite it, you know. So you know, cool. You know, they've been friends. You know, they can always call each other. And if you know who y'all know who Ip Man is,
I do. I know the name.
So Bruce Lee's teacher, Ip Man.
Okay, sent, that's it. Okay.
Yep, Ip Man. So from the famous movies, Ip Man. So Ip Man sent my sensei a Wing Chun dummy. So if you know the Wing Chun dummy, if you saw the movie, you know what it is. So sent that to him from China. So that just shows, you know, the level of respect he has in the martial arts world. So yeah.
Hell yeah. I love to hear about the lineage and that. Corey's clearly having his technical difficulties today, but talking about what's up next, man, like we talked about, you've got a hell of a fight this Saturday at the Motor City Casino. I did my looking into your opponent to see what we're looking at here. And, what up, though, Bree? And with that said, dude, I looked into Eddie Torres. Most all of his fights as a pro were for CFFC, and he's also competed in the Fury grappling events as well. So it's a great opponent for you to have another fight on your record. What are your thoughts on Eddie Torres? How much do you know about him, and how are you feeling headed into this fight?
Eddie Torres, very tough competitor, very well experienced, been in the game for a while. Don't underestimate anybody, but definitely don't overestimate him. I'm sure he'll be bringing his best. I'll be bringing my best. So hopefully he's ready, because I'm for sure ready. And, he's a pretty good grappler. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see. So I try not to focus too much on my opponents. It's me that I defeat. So once I get all my eggs in one basket, you know what I'm saying, I'm all ready to go. So
no, I like that. And that leads into something else I wanted to ask you. With you going into this fight, and like you said, your opponent being somebody who happens to be very grapple heavy, again, I know a lot of the guys you're training with as far as grappling and things of that nature, do you want to keep this fight on the feet, or are you ready for it anywhere it goes, whether that be by a submission, on the feet, however it looks?
I'm ready for anything, you know what I'm saying? I might pull out a submission. You might see a triangle coming out, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. Like I said, I'm about to action ball, so... wherever it goes, you know what I'm saying, I'll be ready for it, you know what I'm saying. I attribute that to, you know, my great training partners. You know, there's no stone left unturned. You know, every situation, I'm ready for it. So I, you know, train with great grapplers, great strikers, you know what I'm saying. So there's not many looks and feels that I've seen that I haven't seen. So yeah,
I definitely appreciate the confidence in all aspects of the game like that. And it definitely, you spoke on it earlier, being a lifelong martial artist, I'm sure being able to adapt to these newer systems, like you said, taking into MMA in, what'd you say, 2018, I'm sure being able to really adapt to these new systems wasn't quite as hard because of that extensive background that you had.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, we call it the way. So the way, you know, if you know Miyamoto Musashi, if you read his book, you know, the way to fighting is the same as the way of painting, the way of the merchant, the way of the fisherman, you know. So if you understand how to focus yourself on one aspect, you know, and grow, and you can apply it to anything you want to learn, anything you want to do. And so learning one thing is like learning everything, you know, if you know how to do that, you know. So the transition wasn't too hard, because even in my dojo, I wasn't just training karate. You know, that's what I attribute to my senseis. You know, I always knew a little bit of judo, always had a little bit of jujitsu, you know. I wasn't unfamiliar with these martial artists, because, you know, you can't, you know, be strictly one way and not know your opponent, you know. So
shout out to our guy Jerry, past guest of the show, talking about he was taking pictures at your last fight at Mitten Muay Thai. Make sure you check out our guy Jerry, whether it's pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, all that stuff. He's got you with the picture game. But another thing that I wanted to ask you about, and I've noticed, is that, you know, you really seem to be dialed in as far as the mental aspects of the game. So talk to me about what that means to you, and how does your faith affect your fight game? Because as a fellow Christian myself, I saw your post that you put up about Romans 8:30. I'm actually a fan of Romans 8:28. I got it tattooed on my arm. So talk to me a little bit about the mental side of the game, and how does that factor into your game once you step into the cage?
Yeah, man. So fighting is three aspects. So you got spiritual, you got mental, and physical. And the physical is the last part. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. And your faith is everything. So, you know, Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, you know, who can be against us? And, you know, that's one of my main prayers. That's a prayer that, you know, I always say to myself, you know, every time I walk in the gym, every time I walk in a cage, you know, that's the way I live my life. And so just knowing that, you know, I have, you know, you know, the creator, knowing that I have, you know, the Lord on my side, you know, knowing, that's another great thing. You know, I grew up in that, knowing who God is. And so just being able to reflect and draw on that power. And once you realize that you can't do everything yourself, and that when you're weak, you know, you have something to lean on, that you have someone to call on to, you know, that gives peace of mind, joy, you know, the things you can't buy, right? You know what I'm saying? A lot of fighters got anxiety, stress, you know, so they smoke, drink, do whatever they got to do. But, you know, prayer works for me. You know, I've never needed advice. I've never needed, you know, something that I needed to cope with, you know, so having that strong spiritual foundation is everything. So yeah,
I like it, man. Like I said, it was something that stuck out to me in my research for this fight, with you know, just seeing a lot of your posts and seeing a lot of things that you put out. You know, a lot of guys that are your age and young in the fight game like that, you know, you see them, you know, trying to be more boisterous a little bit on social media, or doing more to kind of like put themselves out there. I like the quiet warrior vibe that we get from you headed into the cage. With that said, you know, now that you are starting to progress in your pro career, you know, again, we talked about your parents both being black belts. What do they think about you being a pro fighter?
Well, you know, they've both been, you know, they've been in their fair share of fights, their fair share of tournaments, competitions. And so, you know, my mom is like my biggest supporter. So mom and dad. So they always, I always hear my mom for sure. 100%.
I was the same way.
Yeah. I always hear it, you know, and
you can never pick her voice out no matter how loud it is.
Absolutely. So she'll say, let's go, Reese. You know what I'm saying? So I hear her, come on, not, you know what I'm saying? So she's more of a fan. She's my biggest fan than the Warriors, you know. So I know she does, she probably has her mom worries, but at the end of the day, she knows what her son could do. She knows who she raised. Same with my father, you know. He's taught me, you know, everything I know. So they're confident. They know.
They're with it. They're not worried about it. They got the parent nerves, but they ain't worried about it. I like it. It's funny. You go ahead, Corey.
I didn't know you were going to keep going, but real quick, talk to me about, like, because the difference in opportunity, right, between where they grew up doing martial arts, and I'm sure you started the game as a love affair for martial arts and learning how to better yourself through martial arts, but now with the opportunities that there are in the fight game, and like Kyle said, you pursuing a professional career, what, I know you say that they're, you know, supportive and encouraging and stuff like that, but talk me through, like, just the transition in the fight game, and have they talked anything like that to you with the opportunities that may be presented in front of you if you continue to have this, you know, incredible record that you're building up to this point?
Yeah, so you know, back in the day, back in the golden age of karate, you know what I'm saying, the really MMA wasn't popular, you know what I'm saying? Right. Karate was the main martial art. So, you know, it was a lot of bare knuckle. You know, it wasn't like point sparring nowadays. It was, you know, knockout. You win by knockout. So, and when my parents did karate, they did it to survive. You know what I'm saying? They did it to make it home. You know what I'm saying? So after, you know, they left the dojo, the fight was on in the streets. So that was their fight. And so, so they have a more, streetwise, you know, as street wise mindset, you know, to more tactical way to martial arts, and as opposed to the sport wise. So that's why I never considered, you know, MMA like a sport, even though it has many rules. I come into it, you know, ready to kill, you know. So
you have to be able to do that, man. That mindset thing is a whole nother thing. If you're not ready to take your business once you get in there, man, your opponent can feed on that.
Absolutely. You play basketball, you play football, you know, you don't play fighting. So
facts.
So as I said, when I took, you know, if I'm really gonna do it, you know, I dedicate my whole mind, body, and soul to it. So, you know, every day I'm training 5-6 hours a day, you know what I'm saying? Cause I leave no stone unturned, because, you know, your life is on the line, health is on the line, so, you know, I come ready. 100%.
How much fighting are you watching as far as UFC, boxing, all that stuff? Who are some of the guys that you like to keep an eye on in the game these days?
I'm my favorite fighter. to be honest with you, I watch all my highlights. They sweet. You gotta watch them. I'm gonna make a highlight video. So you gotta watch them, man. But
and don't blink.
But you know. Well, really, the person that really got me into MMA was Conor McGregor. So I saw the way he moved. I'm like, hey, that's how I move. You know, so I saw the way he, you know, say, the way he dismantles his opponents, the way he, you know, said, the way he carried himself. Like, I'm really, and at first I thought MMA, you know, it's just a bunch of people grabbing each other. I'm like, that's boring. I don't want to do that. Never would I thought I'd be. My dreams was not to be a MMA fighter growing up. So, but. You know, I saw what he was doing. I saw what he became. And I'm like, if he can do that, I 100% can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been doing it forever. You know what I'm saying? So, and so that was a part. So Conor McGregor is a big part. Anderson Silva, the legend. Another great guy that I look up to, you know, watch a lot. Sanchai, Raymond Daniels. Tenshin Nasukawa. I mean, I can name a bunch of guys.
Did you watch the bare knuckle fight that Sanchai just had?
I did. That was crazy, because I didn't know if they were gonna fight for real, but they actually was, you know, trying to hurt each other. But yeah, so yeah, it was crazy. He broke his hand, I think, the first round or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, so that was wild. So yeah,
with the background like yourself, have you been checking out Karate Combat?
I haven't checking out Karate Combat. You know, it's not impossible to see me on that in the near future.
So that'd be
something I definitely, you know, get into. But you know, the UFC is definitely my main priority. But I definitely wouldn't mind making a short stop at Karate Combat, getting some highlights there, and moving on. But yeah, I definitely like what they're doing around Karate Combat, especially with the pit.
The pit's wild, isn't it?
I would do some stuff on that. That's crazy. Yeah.
All right, so since you brought him up, man, you know, his next opponent, or at least who's rumored to be his next opponent, Michael Chandler, also happens to be a past guest of this show as well. So you got to tell me, do you think that this fight is going to be against Michael Chandler? And if it ends up being against Michael Chandler, how do you think Conor fares after being out of the cage that long?
I would guess it would be Michael Chandler. They were supposed to fight. That's who's most lined up, and I think that's who he has the best chance of beating right now. And that's the thing, you know, just you know, no fighter stays the same, you know, over the years, you know, from your 20s to your 30s, your martial art is going to evolve. And so, you know, the Conor that I saw growing up, he's a little different now. You know what I'm saying, maybe a little more box heavy, definitely heavier. So I don't know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? This is family man, big yacht, billionaire, close to billionaire kind of. So from what I would assume, Conor gets it done. I would assume Conor has too many weapons for Michael to handle. So I would say Conor will get the job done.
So what weight do you think they're going to fight at, though, is the question. Do you think it's going to be like what he's talking about and trying to do this whole three weight class thing, or four weight class thing, or do you think it stays at 55 or 70?
Definitely not 55. Probably 170.
That's kind of what I think. I think 170 looks to be the way it is. And to your point, you know, like I said, we got to chat a little bit about this with Michael Chandler, who, you know, if you guys follow the wrestling side of things with our show, Michael Chandler just showed up on Monday Night Raw last Monday and is trying to call Conor McGregor out on WWE. So we're starting to see a little bit of that TKO drip out here. What do you think, man? What are your thoughts on fights being built up like that? Because obviously with us being pro wrestling side of things too, I think it only helps with fights. And it's something that I said when this whole merger with UFC and WWE and TKO kind of happened, I really hoped that that was something that we could maybe see a little more of. Because personally, in my opinion, I feel like the fights where, I mean, obviously you don't want to make a sideshow out of it because it's a fight. But at the end of the day, I feel like all of us can agree that we're much more, at least for me, I'm much more intrigued and want to see a fight between guys that have been going back and forth, or there's a little bit of a story there, or there's a little bit of hype or bad blood or whatever it is. To me, those a lot of times tend to make the best fights. What are your thoughts on like the buildup of fights like that? And do you think that a merger with them two is going to be good overall for the sport?
Yeah, I think the best fights, you know what I'm saying? It's like a good roast. You know what I'm saying? You gotta let it simmer for days, you know what I'm saying? Like you want that meat tenderized. So you want a good fight, you know what I'm saying, nice and boiling, and when it reached that boiling point, that's when it's time to announce it. So I'm not mad at, you know, Conor taking his time, because he can do that. You know what I'm saying? Because so the more, you know what I'm saying, they try to, you know, up it, you know what I'm saying, Michael calling him out. You could tell that, you know, it's frustrating Mike. You know, you could tell that, you know, he's getting antsy now. So now, you know, playing until maybe that's Conor's mindset, or maybe, you know what I'm saying, that's the promotional side, you know what I'm saying, trying to build it up more. So I'm all for it, you know, like with Floyd and Conor, you know what I'm saying, they built that up perfectly. I think they executed that to perfection. Javante Davis, Ryan Garcia, they built that up over some years, you know, going back and forth. So I think, yeah, the longer, the more tension, the better, for sure.
I think You know, and we've already seen with Connor, man. Connor is the king of mind games. If there's anybody in MMA who's been able to pick up the pro wrestling side of things, it's Connor McGregor. Because from the things he says in press conferences to the stuff that he puts out on Twitter and all these things, to watch Connor, you know, he would make you believe that he's not training for this at all. But anyone who knows anything about Connor knows that that's not how this is happening, because he can't want to go out there and want to get. Let's be honest. If he goes out there and doesn't take this fight seriously, Michael Chandler could knock his block off. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they put this match together, because they know, even though smart money would be for Michael Chandler to try to get that takedown and work the stuff out on the ground. Anybody who's ever watched a Michael Chandler fight also knows that most of the time his fights don't go that way. No. And I think that's why they put this matchup together with him and Connor, because it's a perfect fight for Connor to get back in against a guy who stereotypically probably isn't going to try to wrestle him. I mean, it's 100% gamesmanship from Connor, but I'm with you 100% when you talk about the fight with him and Mayweather. Floyd was somebody that I watched a lot as I was coming up as far as boxing and stuff like that. And we've seen him cross over into WWE with what he did with the Big Show years ago and all that stuff as well. And I mean, that's why I remember saying it here on this show. You know, everybody wanted to say all the stuff. Oh, why is Floyd fighting Connor? And why would Connor go fight Floyd? He got the bag. That's why. He got the bag. It doesn't matter that Connor looked bad, and it went exactly how I thought the fight would go. But again, Connor laughs his way to the bank. The question's going to be, you know, how will he fare after such a long layoff and doing the movies like Roadhouse and all that stuff? I feel like, to me, that's going to be one of the interesting things that comes out of it. But with that being said, dude, we just saw the falling of one of the kings of the UFC, the 145 longtime 145 pound champ, Alex Volkanovski. Do you have any thoughts on UFC 298? Did you check it out? What were your thoughts on that? You know, and what we saw from Henry Cejudo.
So I didn't watch the fight, but I saw the highlights of it, and I knew it was gonna go either three ways. I knew either him and Topuria would go have a war, and or Alex will outpace him, or Ilya would catch him and knock him out cold. So I knew it was either one of those three, and it just so happens it was the third one. And you know you got a feel for the champ, you know what I'm saying, one of the longest reigning, you know, streaks in UFC history. You know, I like Volkanovski. So it was just another reminder that, you know what I'm saying, can't be champion forever. So
do you think he gets another title shot, or he's deserving of another title shot?
100%. I think he deserves another title shot. 100%. You know what I'm saying? When you're champion for that long, if he wants to get back in there, he should 100% had an opportunity from going to 55 to 45. You know what I'm saying? What he's done for the promotion, 100%. Because, yeah.
Not to mention, I mean, he did. It's not like he looked horrible headed up to when he got caught. I mean, in round one, he was landing shots on Topuria as well. I mean, it was just, if you watch it, it was just a beautiful right hand. He set it up with a combination, and the first few punches were kind of like misdirection plays, pretty much, because they were kind of getting Volk's defense out the way and made left the perfect open for that straight. And I agree with you completely. I think with the longevity of his title reign and the amount of people that he's beaten, and the fact, like you said, like he stepped up to fight that second time against Makhachev on like, what, 2 weeks notice or something like that. Like, I mean, some of that stuff's got to count. The only thing I would say is that I hope that he takes a little bit of time between now and then, because he's got to let his chin heal. And I think even with time off, he still deserves a title shot after after, you know, he heals up, because I just don't want to see him try to rush back to go get the belt and then get caught again on something bad. I'd like to see him sit down for a few months and get back in the gym, kind of get his shin back, and then come back once he's regrouped and refreshed.
Yeah, take the Israel Adesanya approach, where once he lost his belt, it seems like the fans are excited to see him versus DDP again, where it seems like the fans were kind of getting stale on his fights before that. So it invigorates the fans' attention towards your career, and it also gives you time to not only round out your skills and continue to improve on things, but also get that mind game right. Because like you said, I mean, the physical aspects only matter so much in the fight game.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't rush, you know, back in after a loss like that. You know what I'm saying? Just take some time, you know what I'm saying? Because you go, you know, I understand why he want to get back to, like, you know, want to prove something to himself, the world. But you know what I'm saying? Just making smart decisions for your health, for your family. That's what's most important. And just making sure, you know, you come into it a little bit differently, you know what I'm saying? Game plan, you know, let it simmer again. Cook it right and get it right the next time if that's what he wants to, you know, really get into. But yeah.
You had brought up the pride aspect of it and wanting to get back and stuff, and I kind of feel like, I mean, yeah, Ilya Topuria landed a great shot. It probably would have knocked him out, whether the circumstance being what they were, whatever the case be. But the pride thing, I think, is what got us in this situation where, oh, I'm just going to continue to turn around in 3 or 4 months after that, you know, vicious head kick. And
exactly.
To, like you say, you always want to chase that. Well, I'm still that guy. Well, we all know you're still that guy, Volk, but you can take a couple months to, you know, get your mind right. I don't think any of the fans will be mad at you.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. It's easier to do that in boxing. So, you know, you look at the Floyd approach, you know what I'm saying? He was still boxing with weak hands, you know what I'm saying, after he broke all his hands. You know what I'm saying?
Still is fighting,
you know what I'm saying? Still making a bag. You know what I'm saying? Still able to, you know, just outbox him. You know what I'm saying? That's a little harder to do in MMA because there's so many ways you can lose. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So MMA is definitely a sport you want to not stay in longer than you want to.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. Stay, you know what I'm saying? So when I'm done with it, I want to make sure that, you know, I leave on my own terms. You know what I'm saying? When I want to, not because I got, you know, not because I got to leave, you know, when I want to. So,
Speaking of that, dude, how are you feeling as we head into UFC 299, bro? Like, this fight with O'Malley and Cheeto, man, Rashad Evans had quite a lot to say about the fight between Cheeto and Sean O'Malley, and he thinks that either one of them is going to have a problem with Merab. What say you come UFC 299?
I like Sean. I like his style. You know, so I like how he moves. Very similar in style. So I got Sean winning that. You know, I'm one of those guys that say, you know, Sean, if not for the injury, I probably would have had Sean winning that first fight. So the perineal nerve, you know what I'm saying, you know, good shot. Merab is a tough machine, so he's definitely a different beast. I see holes in his game, so, you know, I think he can be beat, but cardio machine, 100%. He definitely just dogged Henry, so that was a sight to see.
And that's a statement, because even though Cejudo's older, man, let's not forget the fact that the guy's a 2-division champion, an Olympic gold medalist wrestler that Rob took down multiple times. Whether that's got to do with the fact he could punch him or not, that don't matter. The fact that he was able to put Henry Cejudo on his back multiple times in that fight was a very impressive feat to be able to do to such a wrestler like that. And I mean, I think, you know, we've heard a lot of talk, obviously everybody knows the friendship between him and Aljo, and that's why Merab didn't fight for the title like long before. I think at this point, Merab is the only option after this fight happens as far as 135, whether O'Malley wants that fight to be next or not. I think, especially after his last performance, like you said, against Cejudo, I feel like that's got to be the next in line for that one. But man, you know, in reference to what you said about Sean and his style, I remember again in the fight, we talked a little bit about this last night with Devin Smith and Rashad Evans, which go back and check that out after you're done with this. But that was another thing that really stuck out to me with this fight as well. In the fact that A, you've got the rematch with Chito. So Chito already knows a little bit about Sean, but I called it on the show when he fought Petr Yan. Everybody said that they didn't, you know, thought that Yan was going to blow through him. And I just, well, to your point, the awkwardness and the way that Sean uses his length and the way that for being a guy like that, he has a very good habit of being able to catch people at the end of his punches so that he's getting the most power into those punches. I agree with you. I think O'Malley could definitely be a problem for Chito. I think the further it goes into the fight, I think it would serve O'Malley better because I feel like Cheeto's going to come in there and try to, you know, get right in O'Malley's grill. I think he's going to try to make this fight nasty, make it a little bit of a brawl. So I feel like this fight, any way it goes, is going to be one nasty ass fight. But, you know, I love the fact that we're on a roll because, you know, they also just announced that at UFC 300, we're getting another past guest of this show, and Michigan's own Jamal Hill is going to be taking on I almost said Glover Teixeira. Jesus Christ. I misspoke. I meant to say Alex Pereira, who was my fighter of the year last year for 2023. Do you have any thoughts on that fight? And do you think we see Sweet Dreams get that belt back, or do you think it's going to be the continued run of Alex Pereira?
Well, Alex is no joke, but you know, I'm always going to root for the Michigan man for sure. Yeah. So, you know, shout out Jamal. I know he can get it done, you know, saying he great fighter, got hands. So if anybody can do it, I know Jamal can do it. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, when he wins, you know what I'm saying, Michigan wins, we all win. So, you know, just put it on for the state, you know, for the local MMA fighters here. So I'm definitely rooting for Jamal. So
if only MMA fans here could get with that, because I hear so many people like, oh, why is he getting a title shot? I'm like, man.
Yeah, come on now. You got to root for our boys here in the red, white, and blue, man. I mean,
100%.
And especially us being from the state. I mean, I had to dig all the way back to January for last year, but he won, since Kyle brought up the awards, he won event of the year for me just because that meant so much to me to watch a guy from Michigan, a man that I've shook his hand, had conversations with, win the belt. Like that meant a lot to me. I knew like part of what his story was, and to lead into that and to do it in Brazil and stuff. I mean, I wish, to your point, Kyle, I just wish people would show a little more love to our boy here, Jamal Hill.
Hey, if he takes that belt back, they ain't going to have no choice but to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, man, the last couple questions I got for you. So usually this is a question that we ask to a lot of the wrestlers, but I found a way to spin that around to the MMA side of things. It's fight week. Are we a superstitious guy, bro? Do you got any, like, I got to eat this after weigh-ins, or I got to any of that kind of stuff? Is there any fight week pet peeves or superstitions or anything like that? Weigh-in day stuff.
Fight day, we got some pancakes waiting for us, man. We got some
hell yeah.
We got some pancakes.
Regular pancakes or blueberry pancakes or what kind of pancakes?
We go chocolate chip. We go chocolate chip. I usually do chocolate chip pancakes. That's essential. That's a must. I do that. And I got my sweetest fish right before I go out. And so we on. That's all I need. My protein pancakes and my sweetest fish. And we ready to go. We ready to rock and roll, baby.
Get this man some flapjacks, the sweetest fish, and we're getting a dub this weekend at Motor City Casino. You heard it. All right. Last question I got for you. We talked about your background as far as, you know, with the family being in martial arts and all that stuff and growing up on things like blood sport and all that stuff. Does the Detroit Dragon get down with the pro wrestling side of things? Were you ever a wrestling fan? If so, is there anybody that popped out like that?
It's crazy because growing up, I was a big, 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 big wrestling fan. Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, all that, had the video games, huge
video games were dope.
They were sweet, man. Yeah. Rey Mysterio, my favorite wrestler was definitely John Cena. Growing up, you know, so you can't see me. The Rock, of course, The Rock, man. So yeah, so I definitely grew up a big pro wrestling fan. Haven't been in the wrestling scene lately, just because I've been focused on my MMA career. But keeping up just a little bit with it. But you know, as far as the culture itself, love wrestling. Love wrestling.
So I was gonna say, man, you know, you gotta get if you're a Rock guy, man, your boy's back. You know, I mean, damn, I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff on the Twitter or anything, my man, but dude, people were not happy about him trying to jump the line on Cody, bro. They said it was the most disliked video in WWE history. Talk about 650,000 dislikes and shit.
Really,
man. Yes,
man. They not smelling with The Rock cooking then, because you know what I'm saying, he been cooking up that for years, man. So
here's the thing. I think everybody wants to see The Rock back. I think at the end of the day, I think we all want to see The Rock versus Roman at some point. But it's one of those things, bro. Like, I feel like the fans are like, you've built up Cody Rhodes for me for the last 2 years, bro. I can't have The Rock just come in here and shove my man's back down, because now they've had him win back-to-back Royal Rumbles, which there's only three other people that have ever done that, and that's Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, Cody, and Shawn Michaels. Yeah. So, I mean, right. So I think a lot of it has to do with they don't want to see Cody just get shoved down the hole. But man, and then you throw into the fact that The Rock is on the board now for TKO too, so it's like he's The Rock, but he's like The Rock souped up in a Vince McMahon kind of role as well too. So I don't know, man. I would highly recommend, if you're a Rock fan, you definitely might want to check out WrestleMania. But with that being said, man, before we let you get out of here, do you got any last words for your opponent, Eddie Torres, and for anybody who's on the fence? Let them know where they can get tickets, check out the fight, and how you see this fight going.
You're fighting this Saturday, me and Eddie Torres. Let's go. I'm going to put on a show. You're going to see some real true martial arts. You're going to see a spectacular finish, I'll tell you that. Yeah, so it's tickets still being sold. We'll also be, I'm selling shirts that have my name on it, with also my logo, the Detroit Dragon. I'll be posting that on my social media. Everyone can follow me, Reese_Cheddar. Follow me on there for more information. Selling a whole bunch of more merchandise. So you know, it's gonna be lit. Saturday, we go win, hit the casino, win a couple, you know, win some money at blackjack. Get some pizza, then we out downtown. So it's gonna be a good night.
My man said it's coming up Aces this Saturday. Make you check it out. Motor City Casino at the Soundboard. It's going down. The Detroit Dragon, Reese Kelly, going to war with Eddie Torres. Make sure you see it, and make sure you don't blink, because if you do, you might miss it. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the action. We got some Elimination Chamber stuff to talk about, as they're trying to get people up at the ass crack of dawn going over there to Australia. And next week, we've got the return of Joe the Party before he steps into that bare-knuckle cage for George Masvidal against Charles Crazy Horse Bennett. Holy shit, is that going to be a show. So make sure you hit that button so you don't miss any of the action. Until next time, and in the in-between time, if you're at the fights this weekend, come say what up, Doe, and catch a knockout. Peace.
Peace.